I figure that most of you have certain Christmas plans, kind of at least generally already in place. You probably set the Christmas meal for your family on a certain day. It may involve some planning, so you may have made some steps and thoughts about where you're going to travel or how you're going to travel and where you might be. Some of you have planned out your Christmas meal with very specific details. Some of you have already bought a turkey or a ham for the meal. You may have been in the freezer for a good while now. Your family will probably have real specific plans about opening presents. Now, for some people, this is very serious. You don't open any presents until Christmas Day. Some allow one present on Christmas Eve. And some families even open, I know this is hard to believe, and this is heresy, but some families open all their presents on Christmas Eve. Now, I realize that that's not acceptable. I'm joking. Y'all can laugh a little bit if you want to. I'm kidding. Like, really? You saying that? But your family, I'm sure, has certain plans even for Christmas Day after perhaps the meal, if you have it on that day, and opening presents on that day. Perhaps you have maybe other plans to sit around or to play games together or to watch sports or whatever. But have you ever thought about God's plan for that first Christmas day, the day that Christ was born? Have you ever really thought about his plans for that first Christmas day back in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago? Today we're going to be looking at God's plan for Christmas. God's plan for Christmas. And we have a bunch of verses we're going to look at. We're going to hit them and run, okay? So you probably will need the monitor because you probably won't be able to turn quite that fast. But we're going to look at God's plan for Christmas. Everybody awake, alert, and enthusiastic still? All right. First of all, point number one, man's predicament. Man's predicament. A sinner bound for hell. Man's predicament. A sinner bound for hell. Now, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. Notice what it says. It says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise," notice this, "she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her," and guess what? "And he did eat." You see, God gave one rule, if you will, to Adam and Eve in the garden. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And guess what they did? They ate. The serpent showed up, tempted Eve. She ate. She gave it to her husband, and he ate. You see, man's predicament at this point is not looking good. Not looking good. Disobedient to God. Notice in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Romans chapter 5. We're looking at God's plan for Christmas. Point number one, man's predicament. A sinner bound for hell. You see, since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, that sin nature got passed on to every human being. And when a child is born, they're born with that sin nature. Has it ever amazed you, as I've said many times, you do not have to teach a child to be a sinner. You might say it comes natural. Why is that? That's because the sin nature after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden was passed on to every human being. Man's predicament is this sin nature. Man's predicament, we are sinners bound for hell. But notice in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world." Now, what man is that? That would be? Okay, let's try that again. That would be Adam. But notice, "and death by sin." Because of that sin of Adam, we are separated from God. And we will be separated forever from God if we don't do something with our sin. And it says, "and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." You see, man has a predicament. He had a predicament back then in the garden. He had a predicament some 2,000 years ago, and guess what? Man's got a predicament right now. We are sinners bound for hell. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, listen. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You know, when it says all, it means all, and that's all that it means. So if you're here today and you're hearing my voice, guess what? You are a sinner. You have sinned against God and fallen short of the glory of God. Some people say, what's sin? It really, I usually define it as anything that displeases God, anything that is wrong, anything that goes against God's perfect plan is a sin, right? So everybody here is a sinner. Man's predicament is not good at this point, except for what Jesus did, right? Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, notice this. This is part of that Romans road that we use to tell people about Jesus. But it says, "For the wages of sin is what? Death. Death. If you don't do anything with your sin, guess what? You will die in your sins, and that death that's spoken of there actually speaks of eternal separation from God in a place called hell." Not a good situation. Man's predicament as a sinner. And everybody here is a sinner. We all have that sin nature. We've all fallen short of God's best. We've all fallen short by doing things against God. So our predicament, as far as on our own, we're a sinner bound for hell. Have you ever heard someone say, "We're in a real pickle here"? Speaks of trouble. Have you ever heard someone say, "Well, we're simply up a creek without a paddle"? Means they're in trouble. Have you ever heard someone say, "Now we're in a heap of trouble"? Have you ever heard someone say, "Well, now we're on thin ice"? Have you ever heard, "We're between a rock and a hard place"? That's exactly where you and I were before Jesus came. Man's predicament, a sinner bound for hell. Point number two, we're looking at God's plan for Christmas. First of all, man's predicament, a sinner bound for hell. Number two, God's prophecies. God says, "I'm coming." God's prophecy. God says, "I'm coming." You know, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, this is God speaking to the serpent. This is the very first prophecy in Scripture. And you know what? This prophecy is saying there is a showdown coming between you, devil, and me, basically. He says in this verse, "And I will put enmity," talking to the serpent, the old devil, "I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It," that is her seed, "shall bruise thy head." Who is the seed of the woman? That would be Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate at Christmas. "Her seed shall bruise your head, devil, and thou shalt bruise his heel." What's that mean? I mean, didn't it look bad for Jesus for a while there on the cross? As he was beaten, as he was bruised, as he was spit upon, as the crown of thorns and the side, the piercing that is of his side and all that that he went through, it would look bad. They placed him in a borrowed tomb and it looked bad. But guess what? The devil basically bruised the heel of the seed of the woman, but guess what? Jesus bruised the head of the devil when he resurrected back to life. And the old devil is a defeated little puppy, and he will be defeated completely someday. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? I'm thankful. That very first prophecy in Scripture says, a showdown is coming. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Listen to this prophecy. You see, God's prophecy. He says, "I'm coming." Isaiah 7:14. Listen to this. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself," shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Wow. Aren't you thankful that Jesus was born of a virgin named Mary? Aren't you thankful that Jesus came for us? And aren't you thankful some 700 years before Jesus came, it was prophesied that he was coming? You see, God's prophecies in his book are true. God's prophecies in his book will be fulfilled. And at the birth of Jesus, this prophecy was fulfilled. And notice it says, and call his name Emmanuel. Do you know what that means? God with us. You see, this time of year we celebrate that God himself, yes, the Son of God, but God himself came down to this earth to put on human flesh. Now it really amazes me as I say, like, blows my brain that God would come in human form and live among us. And you know what that makes Jesus as the Son of Man and the Son of God? As 100% human and 100% God, he came to this earth. He understands us. Really, he does. He lived as a human in this world, and he ultimately came to pay the sin debt of the whole world. But you see, part of God's plan for Christmas, he had this planned out. He knew man was in a predicament. He knew that we were sinners bound for hell. And God says, guess what? I'm coming. He prophesied it. The first prophecy, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we looked at. And he prophesied it here in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. I'm coming to the rescue, if you will. Notice what it says, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, again, some 700 years before the birth of Jesus. Now, let me put that in perspective, okay? Can I put that in perspective? 700 years. Now, someone's like, oh, that's kind of hard to figure. I was born in 1963. I know it looks like I'm not that old, but I was born in 1963. Wow. Way back here, right? Somebody say, well, that's nothing, preacher. I was born. You're right. If you're older, you are old. But listen, 700 years before that, are you ready for this? 1,263. Wow. Way. I mean, that kind of puts it in perspective, right? Like someone back there said, well, Steve DeLay is going to be born. Watch out. 700 years ago. In this case, some 700 years before Jesus came, hey, you got something to look forward to. It says, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and I like this, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You see, God's plan for that first Christmas, man was in a pickle. Man was in a predicament. A sinner bound for hell. We're looking at right now, point number two, God's prophecy. God says, I'm coming. He said it in Genesis. He said it in Isaiah 7:14. He says it here in Isaiah 9:6. And I'm not just coming as anybody. I'm coming as the Son of God, as Wonderful, as Counselor, as Mighty God, as Everlasting Father, as the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1, another prophecy that was fulfilled. And there shall come forth a root out of the stem of Jesse. Who is Jesse? That's David's father. It's in the bloodline of David. It says, oh, come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, saying that Jesus, the Messiah, that was prophesied for 700 years before that, would be of the family of David. You see, God's prophecy, God says, I'm coming. Micah chapter 5 and verse 7, again, some 700 years before the birth of Jesus. Listen to this. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Now, where was Jesus born? Okay, now, look alive. Where was Jesus born? In Bethlehem. It was prophesied. You see, man had a predicament, but God says, I got plans. I got prophecies some 700 years. He's going to be born. He's going to come from the bloodline of David. He is going to be wonderful counselor and all of those descriptions. He's going to be a great savior. He's going to be born of a virgin. And his name is going to be Emmanuel, or God with us. And here, guess what? He says he's going to be born in the town of Bethlehem. Can I tell you as a sidelight right now, which really is very relevant, this book is amazing. This book has no error. This book is the very words of God. In Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, under this God's prophecy, God says, I'm coming. Notice this, Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. Notice what it says. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the Lamb. Notice what it says. It's talking about the Antichrist and worshiping him, those whose names are not written in the book of life. But it says, not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. You see, God is a God who knows everything. You know, God sees it all. You know, you and I, we're very limited in what we can see. We can say, well, I hope we have a good Christmas, but you can't see what your Christmas is going to be like, right? Because we just see things right where we are. We can look back and say, I remember this. And as we get older, we remember less and less of this, but we remember some of it, and we're in the moment, and we hope that, but God sees it all. You see, Jesus coming to this earth to be born of a virgin in Bethlehem was not an afterthought. It was like, oh, pfft, goodness gracious, man made a mess. God knew it all the way from eternity past. It says from the foundation of the world, God the Father knew that his son would be slain for the sins of the world. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I have a God that's that big. You say, how big is your God? Well, he's big. Today, we're looking at God's plan for Christmas, that first Christmas. Man's predicament, a sinner bound for hell. Second, God's prophecy. God says, I'm a-coming. Do y'all remember Ray Stevens? Now, he is a little bit crazy sometimes when he wrote these songs. Now, he didn't write this song, but he did a song called And Along Came Jones. And I saw a little video clip on YouTube. I think it was him and Andy Williams and Danny Thomas were singing. It was hilarious. You ought to watch it. It was pretty funny. But you see, in that story of that song, there is, I make sure I get the name right, there's Sweet Sue, and there's Salty Sam. And Salty Sam is a gunslinger. And first of all, Salty Sam, now this is very relevant. If you don't take anything else from the message, listen. Salty Sam takes Sweet Sue and first of all takes her to the sawmill and is about ready to saw her in half. Actually turns the saw on. And do you know what happens? And along came Jones and rescues Sweet Sue. And then Salty Sam basically takes her, I believe, to a mine and lights dynamite. And it looks bad for Sweet Sue, but guess what? And along came Jones. And the third scenario, old Salty Sam puts her on a railroad track and ties her down, and a train is coming. And guess what? And along came Jones, right? You know, there's a lot of similarities between this song and God coming to rescue man. It looked bad. We were sinners bound for hell. God's plan for Christmas. Man's predicament, a sinner bound for hell. Number two, God's prophecy. God says, I'm coming. And number three, and last point of the message today. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Bobby, you are much too enthusiastic for that. We're going to look at God's presence. Presence. P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, like a present under the tree. God's presence. God gave the present of Jesus and the present of salvation. You know, first of all, we're going to look at the gift of Jesus. You know John 3:16? One of the presents that God gave to man was the gift of Jesus. John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "For God so loved," what? "The world." That means us. God so loved us that he gave. You know, doesn't that tell us a lot about our God, that our God is a giving God? He's not a selfish God. He could have been a tyrant God if he wanted to be, because he's God. But our God is a giving God, and he gave us the present of Jesus Christ. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," that's Jesus, "that whosoever," that's anybody, "whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Wow. Jesus is quite a present. Could there have been a better present that comes from God other than the gift of Jesus? 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. We looked at this verse recently. Notice this. It says, "Thanks be to God for his," what? "Unspeakable gift." Aren't you thankful for the present of Jesus? That baby that was born in Bethlehem. Now, we know the rest of the story, right? But he didn't have to come. But as a present to us, he came. As a present from God, he came. It's an unspeakable gift. It's so grand and so great, we can't even really put it into words that match the greatness of the gift. Isn't that something? But thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. God's present. First of all, the gift of Jesus. The second present is the gift of salvation. The gift of salvation. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, we looked at this verse, but we didn't necessarily look at the last part of the verse. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the," what is it? "Gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You know, we have a gift before us. You know, some people say, why do we give gifts at Christmas? Well, I'm sure it's got way out of hand in a lot of people's lives and a lot of families and around our I understand that. I get that. Materialism is not the meaning of Christmas. But why do we give gifts? Now, I've heard two ideas on that. One of them is, when the wise men came, and the wise men came later, okay? That wasn't right at the birth, because he was a child in a house, not a baby in a manger, all right? Just so you clarify that. But they brought gifts to Jesus, and that was very practical, because that funded Mary and Joseph and the baby going to Egypt for protection, to protect them from Herod, who, remember, murdered the babies two and under in Bethlehem. Remember that? So there was gifts given by the wise men. But you know what? I think the best answer of why we give gifts is because God gave us the ultimate gift. The ultimate gift. You see, the wages of sin, our predicament is not good. If we try to take our sins with us and don't do anything with our sins before we die, the wages of sin is death and separation from God. But the good news is, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he offers that salvation to everyone. Even Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9, notice this. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Let me tell you, if you're trying to work your way to heaven, you are on the wrong road. And that road of working your way to heaven will end up in hell. You can't be saved by good works. If you could be saved by good works, Jesus would not come. He's like, why do I have to come? They can work their way there. But because we could not work our way here to heaven, that is, guess what? Jesus came. says you're saved by grace through faith. God showed us his grace in Jesus and his birth and his perfect life and his death upon the cross and his resurrection. He showed us that love and his grace. And when we put our faith and trust that he really did this as the Son of God, he really did die for me. Forgive me of my sins. I want to be saved. Guess what? Your sins are washed clean. Remember last Sunday morning's message, I believe, on snow? Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. But this verse says, for by grace, God's grace to us, are you saved through faith? Not, and that not of yourself, it's the what? Gift of God. Salvation is a gift. I don't know about you, but I'd be put out. It says they're not of works, lest any man should boast. I'd be a little bit put out if AJ comes up to me and says, preacher, I got a gift for you. Well, you know, I'd smile real big. Oh, for me, AJ? Running shoes. Thank you. But no. Preacher, you need to be out there and get rid of this. Okay, moving on. But then he turns around and says, well, I'll give you this gift. If you go wash my truck really good and wax it every month for a whole year, I'll give you this gift. That's not a gift. A gift is something that's offered for free. Now, it costs Jesus everything, but it's free to us. All we got to give to him is our faith and trust that this is real and it really happened. And he washes the slate clean. You see, God gives us the gift of Jesus. God gives us the gift of salvation. And can I tell you, the gifts were given at exactly the right time. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. It says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, talking about Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. But notice, who verily was foreordained again before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for who? For you. For you and for me. In these last times, it says, before the foundation of the world, God knew that Jesus would have to come because he knows everything. But it says he came in these last times for us. Can I say it exactly the right time? In Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 says that very thing. Notice what it says. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. We can become sons and daughters of God because Jesus came to redeem us, to pay our price, our sin price, to buy us back from sin and death and hell. And it says, but when the fullness of time was come, you know what that means? At exactly the right time, God sent Jesus. Exactly the right time. You see, God's presence. He gave the gift of Jesus. He gives us the gift of salvation. And the gifts were given at exactly the right time. Do you remember as a kid waking up early on Christmas morning and going to the Christmas tree? So excited. Because why? Your present was under the tree. And you hoped it was the present that you told them you wanted. Maybe not so subtly, right? You hope, but there was an excitement for that present under the tree. Can I tell you that the present that God gives to us, the present of Jesus and the present of salvation, is something to get excited about. Today, God's plan for Christmas. I'm sure that you've made plans for your Christmas here in 2024, but what about that first Christmas? First of all, we looked at man's predicament, a sinner bound for hell. Secondly, we looked at God's prophecy. God says, I'm coming. Third, God's presence. God gave the present of Jesus. God gave the present of salvation. And both were given at exactly the right time and offered to mankind. But can I make this personal? Can I make this really personal? If you've never been saved, if you're here today and you're hearing my voice, and you've never been saved, you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, can I tell you that you are a sinner right now, sitting in your seat, on your way to hell? Now, I didn't make that up, but the Bible says that very clearly. If you've never been saved, you are a sinner headed to hell. But God said through his prophecies, I'm coming. And now we know that he fulfilled those prophecies and he came with the perfect plan. The perfect plan. And it included two presents. The gift of Jesus, born in Bethlehem, a perfect life, his death upon the cross to pay for our sins, and the resurrection. And he says, guess what? This gift of salvation, you can have it today. Again, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm thankful for that whosoever. That includes everybody here today. So if you're here today and you've not been saved, or you're not sure that you're saved, can I tell you that you are a sinner on your way to hell? But God said, guess what? I got a plan. I got a plan. I'm going to prophesy that Jesus is coming, and he's already come some 2,000 years ago. He paid the sin debt, and he's offering to everyone today the gift of salvation. You do that by putting your faith and trust from your heart. It's not just, oh, yeah, sure, I believe Jesus. I think we have a lot of people that call themselves Christians who will say, oh, sure, yeah, I believe, yeah, huh? It's all up here. But it needs to be right here in the heart. I've heard it said that a lot of people are going to miss heaven and go to hell because of 18 inches, the distance between their head and their heart. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior from your heart, which really means that you really believe it from your very core, and you're giving your heart and life to Jesus and asking him to forgive you personally of your sins and to be your Savior, and telling him that you believe that he really did send Jesus, his Son, to die on the cross to pay for my old rotten sins and then resurrected back to life. If you're here today and you're a Christian, you ought to be shouting on the inside. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I was a sinner on my way to hell, but Jesus came to Bethlehem, born of a woman, lived a perfect life, died upon the cross to pay for my sins, resurrected back to life, and I can tell you when I gave my heart and life to Jesus, when I trusted him as Savior, when I was saved. I can tell you when, and I'm on my way to heaven now, and hallelujah. We ought to get a little bit more excited about our Christianity. But if you're here today and you're not sure that you're saved, or you'd say, I know I'm not saved, guess what? The offer, the gift is right here. Just take it. Receive it by faith. I'll be somewhere down front. We're going to sing in just a moment. I want you to come down. I don't care how many churches you've been part of. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. I don't know. I don't care how good you are to your neighbor. If you've never made that decision by faith to trust Jesus as your Savior and ask him to forgive you, you're not saved. And I don't mean to be a drama king or anything, but this could be your last opportunity to respond. This could be your last Christmas on earth. And as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, what better time? You can have your best Christmas ever That's what it says on the back of our gospel tract that we gave out to all the people at the parade. How to have your best Christmas ever. And you know what that is? By trusting Jesus as your Savior. As part of God's plan for Christmas. That first Christmas, you have the gift of salvation if you'll only take it and receive it and be saved today. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your blessings. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God who has everything under control. Lord, you had a plan for that first Christmas. And Lord, you have a plan for our lives. And that plan starts for our lives when we trust Jesus. And Lord, if there's anyone here today who is not sure that they've trusted Jesus, not sure they're on their way to heaven, or someone may be here today and they're sure that they're not saved, Lord, I pray that you'll convict them with your Holy Spirit. And as we sing this song in just a moment, they'll come forward and say, "Preacher, I want to know for sure I'm going to heaven, that I'm saved." Lord, just speak to their hearts. Give them the boldness to step out. And Lord, for those of us who know that we know that we know that we're saved, we just want to say, we praise you, God. For this plan, we praise you for the gift of Jesus, and we praise you for the gift of salvation. We pray this in Jesus' name.